Is the Chicken Big Mac still a Big Mac? It's got two chicken patties, the pickles, the lettuce, ooh, the cheese, the sesame seed bun, and it's got the sauce. It's not a Big Mac. Get it while you can. And participate in McDonald's for a limited time.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Oh my God. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Philly Pod. After dark, we are coming at you late night after the Eagles took down the Bengals 37-17. My name is Ryan Conway, here with the one, the only Victor Williams. No Stephen Conrad Jr. tonight. we're approaching 1 a.m. here after Monday Night Football. It was the sports equinox, so we couldn't miss a minute of the action, and Steve has long been sleeping. But I don't know how you can sleep after a win like that, Vic. I really don't know. We're going to talk about it all here on the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. Vic, how we feeling, buddy?
Yeah, Steven needs his 8 hours.
You need it. He needs eight hours.
He texted us. He was like, guys, God do it without me. I'm cooked. Long day.
I'm cooked.
I'm cooked is how he worded. I'm cooked. I can't do it. Me and you, man, I go to bed at 2, get up at 6 every day. 4 hours. I've been told by my doctor it's going to catch up to you one day. They've been saying that since high school. I'm pushing 30 now, 31 next month. Still moving. 4 hours, six. If I get like 6 hours, I feel like I feel well rested. 4 hours,
six
I'm functional.
Six is a good number.
I couldn't tell you the last time I got 8 hours of sleep. Steven like needs it though. I've seen him like without 8 hours, and he's like, I'm sure you've seen it working with him, seeing him coming grumpy some days. He is like not functional. Like he needs it. Like coffee, 8 hours without any of that. He's can't function. Can't do anything.
He's pretty boy Conrad, man. He needs exactly. His beauty sleep. You and I, on the other hand, you know,
we'll take what we can get. Life is beating us down. We don't care about, we don't care about appearance. We don't care about, life has beat us down already. Steven's still young, youthful, still has many years to live. We are, how old are you actually?
I'm 26, but I might as well be 40 years old at this point
like
in my life.
40.
No, yeah, I might as well be a 40-year-old man at this point. And you know, point being is that game that was a game early on, Vic. First, you know, few drives I thought was going to take a few years off my life, and
it did.
I think it actually extended it by a few years with how things turned out. Sergeant Sirianni on the sidelines with that with that crew cut,
Eagles
leading the boys to victory on the road in Cincinnati. There's not much negative to say about that game. Really, nothing at all.
Nah, after at least, the third and short bubble screen with no blockers, I was like, it's gonna be one of those days, huh? We're doing one of that. But they did turn it around. And we got our second consecutive blowout victory. Thought we'd never see it. But two straight blowout victories. And this team is peaking. The offense is peaking. The defense is certainly coming around. And some of us might have to apologize to Vic Fangio. We will be talking about all of that on this edition of the Philly Pod. Thank you guys for checking it out. If you are new to the show, appreciate you. Be sure to rate 5 stars. Leave those reviews. Each and every one does help with the exposure of the Philly Pod. Bring it to new eyes and ears of Eagles fans. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms, Victor Williams, at the Philly Pod. Do the same for my faithful co-host, who is always faithful. Steven, not so much. 1 a.m, don't matter. Always ready to
saddle
go. With
up,
crisp,
let's ride.
With a crisp Miller Lite. First of the day, right?
First of the day.
Well, it's after midnight, so technically it is the first of the day. Crisp Miller Lite. Be sure to follow him at Ryan Conway 76 on Twitter. Eagles improved to 5-2 after the dominant 37-17 victory in Cincinnati. They brought out the whiteout. They had to do all of us to deter the Eagles. They didn't have T. Higgins, who was the last second deactivation due to an injury, but the Eagles went into this game. They took down Joe Burrow. They took down Ja'Marr Chase, and they were able to win this game. So, Conway, before we do as we do normally, break it down analytically, your initial thoughts. It's been 24 hours since the game. Initial thoughts, your temperature check on the team. How are you feeling as the Eagles currently sit 5-2, not yet at the top of the division because God is looking after Jaden Daniels. So
he's the chosen one.
I had the tweet drafted like the first place, like whatever, but then Then Jaden Daniels is God among men as it stands right now.
Apparently.
So not quite yet. But your current thoughts on the state of the Philadelphia Eagles right now?
I mean, I'm fired up after that game. It's really hard not to be. Like I said, it was a little bit of a slow start, especially after that first drive. Cincinnati runs 10 minutes off the clock. It's not looking good to start, but the offense came together. Jalen Hurts had by far his best game since that Bills game last year.
Yeah,
so
Buffalo.
It's been a while. It's been a while for sure since we've seen a performance like that out of him. And, you know, everybody that we wanted to see produce came out and produced. And, you know, we ended up taking home a win, a blowout win on the road. So I'm very confident in this team's ability to kind of move forward throughout the year as we start to, you know, we had a couple cupcakes there with the Browns and the Giants. I was like, let's go see it against a real team. And even without T. Higgins, who by all means is a very dynamic player, they still managed to put up some yards against us, sure. But the defense put the clamps on them. Quinyon Mitchell opened up Guantanamo Bay and, you know, put Jamar Chase behind bars, so to speak. And Cooper DeJean as well, our two rookie corners, really kind of were a bright spot for us, which we were looking at those matchups heading into this week. So we said what we had to do to win on the preview pod, and the Eagles went out and did exactly that. So not only, you know, were the play calls good, some shifts in terms of what we were looking at on both sides of the ball, this team's ability to learn from mistakes and adjust to obviously notice what was absolutely not working and then put it into effect against a great quarterback in Joe Burrow, against a very solid Bengals team. This was by no means a win that we were supposed to blow them out by any means. We were road dogs going in.
We were two and a half point underdogs.
Yep. Yeah, two and a half point underdogs. So this was by no means meant to be a cakewalk. Some people might try to frame it like that, you know, retroactively, but no, I'm not going to let them get away with that. This was a game that Vegas had us losing, and we went in and we blew the absolute doors off them, all of them. So yeah, I'm fired up and I'm confident moving forward with this Eagles team. This is the kind of performance that we knew we were capable of doing, and we went out and actually fucking did it. So the fact that, you know, we had the expectations well and truly even exceeded from beyond what I expected. And I expected us to have a solid game. You know, riding high with the birds right now.
This was a game where national analysts, pundits alike, expected Joe Burrow to throw all over us because he's Joe Burrow. And they were like, oh, well, if all these other quarterbacks that the Eagles played can do, like Baker Mayfield, and those guys do what they did, then imagine what Joe Burrow is going to do against this defense. And quite frankly, Jalen Hurts went in there and outdueled him, went stride for stride with him. Jalen Hurts ended the day 16 for 20, 236 passing yards, one touchdown through the air, three on the ground. I believe the first quarterback in history to have three touchdowns in three different games. First quarterback in history to do that. He posted 132.5 passer rating. That is the third highest of his career, and this felt like a statement game, a reminder game, like, because there was a lot of narratives up until this point swirling around Jalen Hurts and who is he and is he able to be a sustainable starter and what have you. And this was a game that sort of kind of spoke to everyone, that reminded that it was a reminder to everyone of who exactly Jalen Hurts is. And I hate to compare it so much to 2022, because that is the past and whatnot, but this was a game that screamed 2022 Eagles, and it was eerily reminiscent, this performance that Jalen Hurts put forth. He was 9 for 9 for 150 yards in the second half. Didn't have a single incompletion in the second half. Had three touchdowns in the second half. He refused to lose. He carried this team and made sure that the Bengals, every time they showed an ounce of resilience and maybe they can get back in it, Jalen Hurts shut that door and made sure that didn't happen. And this was a game that could have easily been like 21-3, like in the first half, up until that missed field goal in the second quarter. And it was 10-3 Bengals, and it could have been 13-3. And realistically, if the Eagles defense didn't hold up and they scored touchdowns on all those drives, could have been 21-3. But they missed that field goal, and then the Eagles tied it up before halftime, and that was it. The Bengals had ample opportunity to shut the Eagles out of this game. They didn't do so. They let them hang around. And then the Eagles punched back, and then there was no chance for the Eagles to get back into that. So I think that from an offensive standpoint, we are seeing a lot of things starting to come together for the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is throwing over the middle of the field, a concept that a lot of people said he could not do. He's not looking at the middle of the field. And we had a bounce back game for Smitty, led the team 6 catches, 85 yards, that 45-yard touchdown, that beautiful pass from Jalen Hurts. I believe 45-yard is the longest I've seen. I don't know if it's the pass from Jalen Hurts or the completion for Devontae Smith, the longest of one of their careers. I'll verify in a second. But that pass traveled 60 air yards. 60. Not bad for a quarterback who has no arm strength, Conway.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, yeah. Not bad for a running back. So definitely a great game from Jalen Hurts. 60 air yards. I do believe it was the longest, at least air yard completion or air yard completion of his career. So obviously,
correct. Longest completion of Hurts' career. Just found.
Dude, yep. Insane. Absolutely insane from Jalen Hurts. You know, 16 to 20 passing. And like you said, going over the middle of the field, doing what a lot of people said he couldn't do. Probably the most tired, you know, criticism of Jalen Hurts.
Reporters ask him all the time, aren't you throwing the middle? He was like, it's not that I can't do it. Just hasn't come up yet.
And yeah, just hasn't really been part of the game plan, hasn't really been, you know, what we were going up against in terms of the coverages for the being the best solution there. But seeing the, you know, we had a much larger sample size in terms of pass attempts, and everybody, literally everybody ate. We had Saquon going, you know, 22 mm-hmm. carries over 100 yards. Mm-hmm. Smitty and AJ just a yard apart in terms of, you know, receiving, as well as, you know, Smitty just having one more reception, 6 to 5. So, you know, we got the guys that we needed to get involved, Calcaterra. And they delivered.
How about Calcaterra? Dude,
Calcaterra he's a little bit of a baller as well. He's a nice
safety.
Dare
I say we don't miss Goddard
offense.
That much? Dare I say?
I don't miss him all that much. I don't know if it's the scheme. I'm not saying that he's not, you know, on the same level that he was at one point, but it's just, you know, the way that this team is set up is that it's the tight end is sort of a luxury position for them at this point, because they went out, they got a stud running back. They have two of the best wide receivers in football. It's, you know, it's hard to feed so many mouths, and, you know, the Eagles managed to do it with an incredibly balanced offensive approach, which has really been the big criticism. Sometimes obviously run the damn ball is something that we've been clamoring for, and we've been getting it. And it's led to great success. It opens up the passing game in a whole new way. And when you have that coupled with two absolutely elite receivers, that makes everyone's life easier. Even Calcaterra obviously is a beneficiary of that, because they're like, if you're a defense and you've got Saquon Barkley, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, yeah, they're kind of shitting themselves already, and then they're like, oh fuck, we let Calcaterra open, god damn it. Like, that's pretty much what's going through the heads of the defensive coaches on you know, for Cincinnati. So seeing the way the offense approached the game in general, a lot more under center looks, just a lot more kind of diverse array of offerings on the offensive side of the ball, it's hard not to be encouraged by what we saw from this unit, for sure.
On that 45-yard completion to Devontae Smith, Devontae had 0.8 yards of separation on that play. Not even a full yard of separation, and Devontae goes up and gets those. His statement usually happens against the Commanders, but his statement catch are those go-up-and-get-it balls that somebody of his frame and stature shouldn't be able to physically accomplish, and he does it every single time. And every single time, I'm amazed, even though it's becoming the norm. And I am baffled every time I see it, because that man is beyond words of the things he's able
it's
to do
absurd.
On a football field.
People like to gush about the route running. They like to gush about his technical ability.
Understandably,
and obviously
so.
His speed, and absolutely 100%. But every once in a while, he lets the dog off the leash and goes up and gets one above the rim like that. And having that as a dimension to his game, opposite of AJ Brown, who's just a freak of nature, it makes everyone's lives a lot easier, you know, from the players on the field with them to the fans at home as well, having those guys. And yeah, a huge bounce back game for him. Not that he played particularly poorly, just the looks weren't there.
Yeah, even bounce week. Back sounds like an insult, because it's not his fault.
It's an insult. Yeah, it's not really a bounce back game. It's just more getting him on the stat sheet, and we got him involved. It took a little bit to get him into the flow of the game there with the offensive game plan.
He had another catch. His first catch went for -2 yards again. And we
were
like, oh,
that was
man.
Really funny. Steve was like, I tried to warn y'all.
They asked him about it afterwards. Actually, I don't know which reporter, but they asked him, like, what was going through your head when another reception went for negative yards? He was like, we're not doing that today. Smitty said,
he's like, dude, we're not, did you not see what I just did? I'm not talking about
you asked
about
me about a negative play? I'm not addressing this. I do want to give a shout out to Mr. Fred Johnson. I guess Jeff Stoutland, who whenever his contract is up, the Eagles should hand the blank check to, because Fred Johnson was the main man responsible for keeping Trey Hendrickson in check, and he did just that. 22 pass blocking snaps, only allowed one pressure and zero sacks. Hendrickson had 7 sacks in 7 games entering that, and Fred Johnson is a reserve left tackle coming in for Jordan Mailata, and the offense does not miss a beat when he comes in. Same for Tyler Steen, who came in for Mekhi Becton yesterday. It seems like no matter who you throw in there, there might be some growing pains. Example, Jack Driscoll against the Jets last year, but there might be some growing pains. But Stalin has these guys ready and prepared, and they don't feel down on themselves when they're not starting. Like Steen, especially the way the summer went for Tyler Steen, who was supposed to be the starter, and then they bring in Mekhi Becton, who is a tackle and now transitioning the guard, and essentially took the job away from Tyler Steen. He could have been down on himself. He could have been a distraction. He could have been upset. And Stalin has these guys prepared and ready to go and acting like starters, even when they're not. And every time they come in and the offense looks just as smooth as it did with the starters, that's a testament to coaching. That's a testament to the work ethic he installs in them and the mindset that these guys come in ready to play. Like a lot of guys, like I said, they can be down on themselves and come in and not be as confident. No matter who's in this offensive line, it's like plug and play. Next man up is truly a thing with this team, especially with the offensive line combo. I'm impressed with Fred Johnson as well as Tyler Steen yesterday.
Oh yeah, I have to show love to those guys, because it was a little shaky last week, especially for Fred Johnson, at least in the pass blocking game. And then
he really is an up and down player. He's either like stellar or it's like, oh no.
He was an absolute stud. And then also, you know, outside of those guys, got to tip the cap to Lane Johnson, just doing what he does. Some absolutely absurd.
Like he was rolling on the ground in pain for a minute there. I was worried.
Yeah, dude, I was stressed. I was like, you've got to be kidding me, because he is probably. I mean, not even probably, just looking at the win-loss totals with him on and off the field, Lane Johnson is probably the most valuable player on this offense. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't win when he doesn't play, and it's absurd. And so just another week, you know, he came back, he's getting back into the flow of things, and he just completely dominated at the right tackle spot yet again, as he's been doing for a goddamn decade. He's the best right tackle in football. It's not even close, and there's a lot of great players out there, but he's just on another level. So having him kind of, you know, returning, you know, second week back, still at performing at a high level, pair that with Fred Johnson figuring that out a little bit more in the pass blocking game, and you've got a stalwart offensive line unit that, you know, other teams, if they have backups coming in a couple spots, they're like, oh God, what are we going to do this week? Meanwhile, I had quite literally no concern. I had a little bit of concern at the start of the game going into, obviously, with Hendrickson producing at the clip that he was, but this was, you know, a hallmark performance for Fred Johnson. So gotta tip the cap to that guy.
The offensive line in total allowed 0 sacks and only 1 QB hit against the Bengals. They also, paved the way for 161 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. That also goes a long way in the run blocking. That is 4.1 average that ball carriers, Kenneth Gainwell, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, all were able to run behind that offensive line yesterday. And even Will Shipley, who had that touchdown called back. I've never seen anybody more excited for a touchdown in my life than Will Shipley. I felt so bad when I got called back.
I was so disappointed. And it was so funny, too. I was like, of course he gets in the end zone.
Like the referee was saying the penalty, and Shipley was still celebrating in the end zone.
He's still fired up, dude. He's still fired up. That's electric. And it, when it comes to the running backs as well, obviously nice to see Shipley almost score there. It was a great play by him. But just, you know, Saquon again, the egoless superstar.
Egoless.
Dude, got us down to the one multiple times.
Even the commentators like, just hand it to him, but they're not gonna. They're not gonna.
That was so funny. I was thinking, I was like, they should. And I'm like, nah, run it.
I missed the parlay, 5-leg running back parlay I had that missed by Saquon. So I was a little miffed about it. But Jalen Hurts showed good sports, handed him the ball because he knows damn well, like, you got us down here. But yeah. we're going, and nobody's more. You saw the mic'd up last week about when they were at the Giants, Saquon was telling them to run it again. So nobody's more hyped to run that play than Saquon. But I thought, because with the lead, and they were like, all right, we'll give him one. But nope. Not that time.
Not in that moment, no.
As far as Jalen Hurts goes, since the bye week, Hurts has completed 71% of his passes for 614 yards, 4 touchdowns through the air, 8 total, I believe, 3 rushing yesterday and then 1 last week. If my calculations are correct, and 0 turnovers. The most important thing, third straight game Conway with 0 turnovers. Everybody, the first 3 weeks or the first 4 weeks, and understandably so, was the turnovers because Hurts was throwing errant balls and fumbling a lot. And whatever they did over the bye week, I don't know if the shaved head really did it or Sirianni has some speech or whatever happened over the bye week. Hurts came out a different person. He's taking care of the football like the Hurts that we know, and he's running the ball like the Hurts that we know. This version of Jalen Hurts is the one we've been waiting for since the year started. And granted, it's a new scheme yet again for Jalen Hurts, a new offensive coordinator yet again for Jalen Hurts. So there is time to figure things out. And now it looks like this is starting to look more and more like the Kellen Moore offense. And the things that Jalen Hurts is doing now is what they're going to need to do if they hope to go deep in the playoffs, similarly to how they did 2 seasons ago. I'm on the bandwagon that the whole entire city should just shave their heads along with Sirianni. It's working. I don't know if Sirianni is here shaving it like every night. I don't know what the deal is with the whole city. Imagine if Kellen shaves his head, imagine what this offense would do.
Dude,
like, we might put up 50 a game if Kellen shaves his head. Dude,
I don't
get
know,
Kellen on board.
Kellen, if Kellen Moore shaved his head, I think players might actually be scared of him. He'd look like Private Pyle from Full Metal Jacket. It would not be a good look for him, I don't think. And same for me. If I were to follow suit, if I shaved my head, I don't think I could pull that off. My hair is really the only thing that I truly like about myself. Everything else I could, you know, do away with.
My eyebrows are set up. Commitment. If I shaved my head, it would not be a good. My eyebrows are way too thick for the shaved look. It would not. Like, I would have to shave my beard, which I have never shaved since I grew it. Since the day I grew my beard, I've never like clean shaven baby face. No,
I can't. I can't. I did the mustache for a little Halloween.
Maybe you can't. You're damn near there now. You're damn near there now.
Dude, here's the thing. Even this ratty ass mustache, if I shave the stash, I look about 13 years old. Like, I look like a young boy. And that's
Listen, not I get
the...
carded. I get carded at liquor stores now. Imagine if I shaved this. I wouldn't be allowed.
Oh my God.
They'd
throw
they would
you
let me
out.
In a club. They would throw me out the club, bro. So I would get in line. They'd be like, don't do this. Get out.
They'd be like, they wouldn't even let you wait in line. They'd be like, just let's
they would
cut
take
this
my license and be like, this isn't fake.
This is fake. You're like, it's license. Literally not. It's genuinely a real license. Jalen Hurts cleaning it up. You know, with the turnovers, I mean, that was our big concern, was like, is he going to just be a turnover machine all year? Now you look at the interception numbers, my beloved Baker Mayfield, 9 picks on the year.
And with Patrick Mahomes, who has more picks than touchdowns, by the way.
Yeah.
9 interceptions to 8 touchdowns for Patrick Mahomes.
Somehow the front runner for MVP makes no sense.
Not anymore. It's Josh Allen now, rightfully.
As it should be. He's an absolute dog. My fantasy team. Thanks
very much
for his contributions.
Services.
Yes, absolutely. But only team in football this month of October, as we're nearing the end of it, Vic. Only team in football without a turnover in the month of October.
Yeah.
Everybody else has a turnover, but the Philadelphia Eagles. Of course, we were the beneficiaries of that bye week. But even so, something that was a serious concern for this team. As we've had, you know, a few of them, but it's been completely assuaged by the fact that they have not coughed the ball up once in the month of October. Hopefully that continues, you know, moving into November, into the, you know, the meat and potatoes part of the season and part of the schedule. But Jalen Hurts in general, obviously the passing was crisp. He just looks better.
Mm-hmm.
Even,
more confident,
you know,
decisive.
Stat lines aside, just full eye test. In the pocket, I mean, he's one of the best pocket passers in football this season. You know, him with a clean pocket has some of the best, you know, production out of anybody in the league, if not the best, if I'm not mistaken. But that's just something that another thing that has just been a completely strange criticism of him not being able to work in a clean pocket. It's just like, are you kidding me? Like, this is something that we saw. I hate to, you know, harken back to 2022, but that was the best iteration of Jalen Hurts that we saw.
I feel like we do that so much, but that's the bar. That's the bar.
That's the thing, is when you perform at a high level and then you kind of take a little bit of a step back like you did last season, you know, you kind of are looking for ways. Is he going to go back to that? Is he going to exceed that? Was that the best we'll ever see of him? And going off of this, after these few performances, we're starting to kind of see shades of that 2022 Hurts. Moving so much better in general as well. He actually looks fast again, mm-hmm. too, when he is running the football. Like that one touchdown that wasn't the tush push.
Yeah, that
was
he pulled.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, Tush push merchant my ass.
Yeah, forget that, dude. He's actually, he just looks quicker. He's moving better. And that just open, you know, that's another dynamic of the offense that, you know, teams are going to have to prep for now. Probably previously last year, like, all right, he might run, but every time he would try and bounce it outside and run last season, he'd get to the line of scrimmage and get knocked out of bounds because he couldn't move as well as he's moving right now.
Or he would fall with oncoming defenders. He would just fall because he was messed up. Or he was under, I still believe he was under that pressure of that contract, and he was like, I have to stay healthy. Like,
yeah,
for Mr. Lurie, I have to stay healthy.
I have to stay healthy.
For Mr. Lurie's investment. And then this year, like, a lot of that pressure's off his shoulder. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also the case. Obviously, we're slightly biased on a Eagles podcast, but does Jalen Hurts have one of the prettiest deep balls you've seen? Like, obviously, Anthony Richardson, who's having a really shaky year, but his deep ball is crazy. I think Hurts has one of the most accurate, prettiest deep balls I've seen in the league.
He's got a great deep ball. And again, another thing that people say that he can't do that he absolutely can do. It just feels like everything that people say Jalen Hurts can't do, he just has been able to do the whole time, which kind of, you know, drives me crazy. Obviously, you know, as someone who just watches, who actually sits down and watches football, number one, you know, people are telling me something isn't happening when I'm seeing it happen on my screen. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone half the time when people talk about Jalen Hurts. Obviously, there are grounded criticisms, like with the turnovers and things like that, that he's obviously moved past, at least for, you know, for this portion of the season. But the deep ball is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. So that's just another thing, you know, take the top off the defense. He can kind of do it any way he likes to. And that we saw, you know, obviously against the Browns, who have a great defense. And then we have, you know, went up against the Giants, who are an interesting team, to say the least, especially as we saw on Monday Night Football tonight.
They make it a game somehow, somewhere.
An absolute dumpster fire of a franchise. But seeing Jalen Hurts kind of, you know, put that performance on against a team that's supposed to, you know, was expected to be a contender going in, obviously stumbled out of the gate a little bit, but still can put those solid performances together. It's, you know, very encouraging for everybody. You know, I'm definitely, you know, I'm already very heavily invested in Jalen Hurts stock at the moment, and I'm probably going to buy more at this point after this performance.
Who takes Hurts like round two or three in fantasy every single year, and he carried me almost to a title last year. I'm very much involved
much involved in the Jalen Hurts market for sure.
Another narrative that kind of gets under my skin is the it didn't so much happen in yesterday's game because it was the Smitty. I like how we said that in the post game, like, or in the pregame pod, like, it's going to be a Smitty game one of these days, and yesterday turned out to be his game. But AJ obviously did his thing as well. But one of the narratives that gets under my skin the most is that they always say that Jalen Hurts wouldn't be a good quarterback, like, he wouldn't be elite without his elite wide receiver and AJ Brown. And then I think to myself, like, A.J. Brown wasn't considered a top five receiver until he came to Philadelphia, until Jalen Hurts was throwing him the football. And I understand that he was viewed as a talent. Like, he was, like, if you look at, like, 2022, like, wide receiver rankings, he was, like, top 15, maybe top 12. But, like, he wasn't considered the top three, top four, top five guy he is now. And I'm not saying, like, Jalen Hurts is the reason for that. Like, I think they make each other better. But for people to act like, oh, A.J. Brown bails out Jalen Hurts. Now, some of those 50-50 balls, okay. Like, obviously, like AJ comes down with those. But to act like that A.J. is just masking every single, like, weakness in Jalen Hurts' game, I think that's uneducated. I think that's ignorant. And I also think that Jalen Hurts is a big reason why A.J. Brown has the success that he does in Philadelphia.
Oh, 100%. And that's true for literally any quarterback. Now, you know, maybe there's exceptions like Tom Brady, who didn't really have many elite wide receivers. Then he had, you know, Gronk, obviously Randy Moss for a period of time.
I'll say, but there's a reason Devontae Adams went back to Aaron Rodgers.
there's a reason for this. It's, you know, you can't have one without the other. Some guys throwing the ball, somebody has to catch it, you know, and there are guys that, you know, quarterbacks like throwing to. And especially when you're in the position that Jalen Hurts is in as well, with the offense constantly changing, whoever's calling the plays, what the scheme is kind of switching up every year. Having the safety valves like that, guys like A.J. Brown, obviously makes your job easier. Of course it does. If you can just go, fuck it, A.J. Brown's down there somewhere. Like, look at Mahomes early in his career with Tyreek Hill. Did Mahomes make Tyreek Hill the receiver that he is? No. Did Tyreek Hill make Mahomes like a great quarterback? No.
It's part of the reason he got the contract that he did.
Yeah, they're just both phenomenal players that when they come together, they create something that's, you know, greater than the sum of its parts. And that's what we see with, you know, A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, you know, Devontae Smith as well, because he's got two elite guys that are in the mix there. Like, you give any quarterback your Paris Campbell as your wide receiver one, you're probably not gonna produce at, you know, the highest possible level in your career. That's just not gonna happen. So yeah, that whole AJ bails out Jalen Hurts all the time and kind of masks his, you know, imperfections is just complete nonsense.
Yeah, I never put too much stock into that. The Eagles are 30-9 the last three seasons with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, and that includes the 1-5 stretch of last year. 30-9.
All that 30-9. Yeah, we do a lot of winning here in the city, huh?
Do a lot of winning with Jalen Hurts. And also, to your point, piggybacking off your stat earlier, Jalen Hurts is the only quarterback in the NFL to have 9+ total touchdowns and 0 turnovers since week 5. So very good numbers. We're trending in the right direction offensively, and hopefully that continues next week against the Jags, the 2-6 Jaguars. So,
and it will.
So that'll be interesting.
I'm confident to say
I'm
that
confident
it will.
To say that it will. Any other notes on the offensive side, Conway, before we talk about the two studs we have on defense?
we got some dogs on defense.
Dogs. Literal dogs.
Literal dogs. Literal and physical across the board. But no, I think I've said my piece in the offense. Those guys are cooking, and they can just take what worked from this week and continue to build on it. Sky's the limit for this team.
Well, one last note. Saquon accounts for 33% of the Eagles' total offense thus far into the season.
I would have guessed it was higher.
You pay him to do that, though. I would have guessed it was higher. You pay him to do that, though. $13 million a year? You pay him to contribute to the offense, and he's responsible for 1/3 of the total offensive yards. So Saquon,
worth the price of admission. If anything, he's underpaid.
He's underpaid, yes.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
All right, defensively for the Philadelphia Eagles, another stout performance from that defense led by, I will say, the star of the defense had to be Cooper DeJean, who continues to not shy away from these big name players, stopping Ja'Marr Chase on a fourth down, stopping Trent Irwin on a play that we have seen players score countless times. We have seen, I don't know if you remember the play, but it was, now they scored the very next play with Chase Brown, but the play before that, they threw the out to Trent Irwin, and he tried to like throw DeJean to the side, and DeJean wasn't going for it. Hooked him, grabbed him, threw him to the ground. If that's Maddox, who closes his eyes and dives and prays, I don't think he would have made contact. But Cooper DeJean, probably the best tackler on that defense, and can't say enough good things about Quinyon Mitchell. Per Pro Football Focus, was targeted twice. Ja'Marr Chase and Quinyon allowed 2 catches for 16 yards, and that ended that. So Quinyon, Cooper, it's getting to the point where QBs are now targeting Darius Slay. Like, they prefer to target Slay instead of Quinyon.
Even Slay played.
Yeah,
well.
That breakup in the end zone.
Yeah, that breakup in the end zone was huge. And obviously then, you know, he ends up going out and, you know, we end up with a pick.
You make big plays
Isaiah
the minute
Rogers.
He comes out.
Of course. But no, it's incredibly, I say the word encouraging a lot because it's not like I'm here like, oh, we've got the best defense, we've got the best offense in the league. Like, we're not there. We're not there, but I am very much encouraged by these performances because it shows kind of what we have. That play with Cooper DeJean on the sideline where he just, you know, Irwin tries to throw him out the club and he's just like, no, get on the fucking ground right now. That's, if you are a pass catcher and you wanted to score a touchdown against the Philadelphia Eagles at any point in the last 4 years, that's your play. Mm-hmm. Like, that's your that's your make a man miss and then go and score. That's kind of been the hallmark of our DB unit for the last few years now. So I literally was sitting there. I was like, oh my God, he's going to score. And then I saw it was DeJean wrapping him up. And I go, oh, someone who actually knows how to tackle. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So having that additional physicality on the field and, you know, with the DB position group, that kind of, again, changes what this defense looks like and changes how this defense operates. We saw it there. We saw the tackle for loss on Chase on that little screen. Mm-hmm.
All that dancing around beforehand in motion, all that back and forth, all that dancing he was doing. DeJean wasn't fooled. They tried. Zach Taylor was trying a lot of, put him in motion, fake it this way, fake it that way. We'll lose him in coverage eventually. Not Cooper DeJean. No. He came right up and made that tackle. And even if he didn't, I think on the Irwin tackle, if he didn't, CJ was right there. And who knows if he makes that, because CJ leads the team in missed tackles.
That's true.
For DeJean to stick through the motion and stick through all that, and he is so good at his IQ is so high. He's so quick at diagnosing those things. I'm impressed. It makes me wonder. I'm not really wonder because I know that he had some catching up to do through the playbook from missing training camp. But man, I would take a raw DeJean over this form of Maddox any day.
Oh my God, yeah. Just the physical tools he has are great. His eye for the game, his ability, like you said, to kind of have that high IQ and read those plays and not get shaken off by like that the all 22 of that play.
Yeah, I saw it earlier.
It's just so nice. It's like, oh yeah, you can try whatever you want. I've got you dead to rights before the snap even happens.
Dance around all you want, man.
Yeah.
Even Irwin. Irwin was in motion too before that play, and DeJean ran across the field and got him.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, oh, that was cute. That was very cute. I appreciate the effort there. But
still get on the ground.
You're going to sit the fuck down right now. So thanks for playing. But it was a phenomenal performance from him. We really just went out and got two stud corners in the draft. And they're both very good at what they do.
Two corners that honestly should not have fallen that far. We've said it countless times on this pod. Quinyon had no business being at 22. DeJean, even with the injury and didn't do the pro day or whatever the situation was, he should have been a first round pick. He was a very obvious first round talent. And there's a reason why Howie was like, hell yeah, moving up to go get this guy. Didn't even scoff at it. And it's unbelievable that the Eagles got both these guys, and they're both playing prominent roles on defense very early.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Quinyon, when do we start talking Quinyon all-pro?
Should start now. I told myself after the Chase matchup is when I start to think about it. And he's very much second-team all-pro as we're recording this.
And the only catch he gave up against Chase was that, route going towards the sideline there when they kind of met downfield. And there's a little contact, for sure.
It was a little fraud catch.
Maybe a little OPI. I don't know. Just kind of discarded the rookie corner and ran to the boundary. Sure, yeah. Go ahead.
Quinyon's not going to get that call, though.
If that's how you got to get your catch against Quinyon, then by all means. If that's what you got to do, you got to rough him up a little bit at the top of your route, before you get into your break, that's fine. That's fine. If we'll take that. And after that, it was just complete lockdown.
They don't even throw. They don't throw at him. They really don't.
It was DEFCON.
They're picking to throw to Slay.
What's the higher DEFCON? Is it DEFCON 1? Is that the highest one?
Man, don't ask me, bro.
I'm looking it up. Yes, DEFCON 1 is the highest level of alert state for the United States military. It was DEFCON 1 in Guantanamo Bay.
It was Guantanamo Bay.
Dude, they
not
were
Guantanamo Bay. Whoever's
Quinyon
saying
Quinyon
that,
Bay.
It's not Quinyon. It's Guantanamo Bay.
It's Guantanamo. We get it. His name is Quinyon. We all know that.
We understand that.
That's
we understand the grammatical.
Quinn.
That's why we're saying Quinn.
You don't have to literally spell it out for us. We know how to spell his name. We know what his name is. But
this is why I solidify him as a second team All Pro as of this moment. These are the matchups that Quinyon has had so far into the league, seven games into the NFL. I tweeted this out earlier, so for those of you that follow me, this will be redundant, so I apologize for that. But Christian Watson, week one, Quinyon held him to one catch, 6 yards. Drake London the next week, one catch for 5 yards. Rashid Shaheed, who had 169 yards and 2 touchdowns over the first 2 weeks of the season, Quinyon held him to 0 catches for no yards, put a stop to all of that. Mike Evans, 2 catches, 19 yards. Amari Cooper with the Browns, of probably an unmotivated Amari Cooper, but 1 catch, 10 yards nonetheless. Malik Nabers, 1 catch, 9 yards. Jamar Chase, 2 catches, 16 yards. Those are all pro receivers he's going against. Quinyon is shutting them all down. Shutting them all down.
Receivers.
I mean, he's not all pro, but these are guys
at the moment
produce produce at a high level in the NFL. And Quinnon shut them all down. And he's not up here saying he's the best. He's not at the ego. Like, there is no ego with this guy. He just shuts him down and moves on to the next week. It's unbelievable. Just unbelievable player this man is.
Yeah, and he's not asking anyone for their Fortnite gamer tag on the field.
You still gaming?
Yeah. Yo, bro,
I really did. It wasn't so much of Tim talking about it, how he, I didn't like the way he was like fanboying all up on him. Mike Evans like, bro, get off.
He was like, yo, what's up, big bro? It's like, no, dude.
I didn't like the mannerisms. I didn't like anything about
Quinnon doesn't give a fuck who he's playing against.
I don't
against.
Care what you're doing. Mike Evans, he said, well, how many catches you got on him? He don't give a damn.
He doesn't give a fuck, dude. And Mike Evans was cooking us all day, but not Quinnon.
Not
when Quinnon
broke
was
that shit up in the end zone. That's my favorite breakup of the year. That all Mike Evans punched that shit out of his fucking hands.
I still think I lean the one in the one in Brazil against Green Bay when he's just jawing with him to the point where
the Shaheed one was pretty good too.
They had to move him. They had to, his teammates had to physically remove.
Somebody pulled him back, like, bro, like you'll we'll get flagged for this because refs don't know you.
Yeah, they're like, who is this guy?
you might want to stop that. But those like he's shutting down every single receiver, and it's getting to the point where he should just shadow these guys. He should just shadow the WR1s.
When did we start asking that question?
When did when do we start putting Slay on WR2s? When does this happen?
Now,
oh man, and Isaiah Rodgers came in and he had he allowed zero completions when he came in for relief of Darius Slay. Had the one breakup that led to the CJ interception. Two takeaways: we had the Bond forced fumble on the N'Kobe Dean recovery. Two takeaways, Conway. In one game, we doubled our takeaway total on the year. We're getting takeaways now. I can't fathom it. I can't,
That was huge. And the pass breakup from Rodgers, the little tip drill. I mean, he was asked about
he said he was like, I meant to do that. I was like, okay, I bet. I'll give
they
it
were like, they were like, is that skill? Is that instinct? He's like, that's preparation. I was like, all right, sick answer.
Preparation, baby.
I don't know if I believe you that you meant to do that, but I don't really care. If you want to keep doing that all year, then let's keep it moving because that's phenomenal stuff. And Chase was just dumbfounded. He's like, what just happened? What?
unbelievable. Jack Blount said they've been harping on takeaways. Like they come in bunches, really. Like in the NFL, takeaways come in bunches, and if you get two here, you get into a groove. And of course, CJ, as he always is, an opportune position for an interception, just like he was in 22, and now he's here taking advantage of this. Well, we'll take takeaways anytime we can get them. And at that point, it was just an onslaught. Since the bye week, Conway, points per game, the Eagles defense is allowing 12 points per game, first in the NFL. They have 14 sacks, also first in the NFL. They are allowing 3.9 yards per play, first in the league, 214.3 total yards per game. That is second in the NFL, 3.7 yards per carry. That is sixth in the NFL, and QBs have a 80.1 passer rating against that defense since the bye week. That is 10th. In the NFL, they are certifiably a top 10 defense since the bye week. I don't know. Again, I don't know if the buzz cut something.
Dude,
the tackling drill,
Sergeant
the tackling
Sirianni.
Drill, Sergeant Sirianni. He got these defense moving. He got this offense moving. Vic Fangio is unwavered. And now, in the beginning of the game, Vic Fangio bend don't break. They bend and broke. So that was
concerning to say the least.
But they got it together later on. But that was a little like the whole first half was like, all right, bro. Like
I was like, what is happening right now? I was like, this cannot be going down like this. I simply won't allow it.
It was not ideal, but to get takeaways and have the corners playing the way they are, and Cooper DeJean and Quinnon injecting youth into this, and the defensive line is still getting pressure. Now let me ask you this. We'll talk about this as the deadline gets closer, but with the way that the edge rushers are playing currently, with Huff is still getting pressure, you got Nolan Smith, who has a sack now in three straight games, I believe. Apologies should be coming his way soon. and everybody else, would you still inquire? Now Josh Uche got traded today. He was one of the top targets for the Eagles, but he went to the Chiefs. Would you still inquire about adding another edge rusher, or are you kind of like, I like the way these guys are playing, let's not add anything to it?
I don't think you can have too many edge rushers.
You can never have enough pass rushers.
You can never have enough. I mean, and that was the hallmark, and we're throwing it way back now, 7 years, Jesus Christ, to the Super Bowl year, where we just had a bunch of quality D linemen, and you can kind of rotate them out. You're not leaning too much on one guy. Obviously, you had your marquee guys and a bunch of guys kind of, you know, lining up behind them, kind of ready to take advantage of when they saw the field. I don't think it would be a bad thing to add another pass rusher. I don't think you can ever have too many, and especially in the modern NFL, where this, you know, pass happy league always has been, will be for the foreseeable future, although we are seeing a bit of a renaissance from the running backs, to be sure. Which is always
a running back league again.
It's great to see. It's great to see. But still, pass rushing is, you know, winning the game in the trenches. You can, you know, if you have something where one guy gets figured out by that offensive line, but then you're like, all right, well, we've just got another guy. We just hot swap him real quick. And next thing you know, he's getting pressure. And it just, you know, the more looks you can throw at that offensive line that you're playing against, the, you know, the more chaos you can create. And when you create chaos, good things happen. That's good. That's true in all sports pretty much. You know, if you can kind of create, you know, a little bit of havoc and kind of throw guys off of their rhythm, throw that offense off schedule, I mean, why wouldn't you? Now, in terms of if you want to talk draft capital and how you know, how big of a swing are we going to make?
UJ calls it a sixth. I was
I was like, Howie, what the fuck, man? What did you offer?
He's on a on a 1 year, $3 million deal. Like, he's a free agent after this year. So maybe.
Yeah.
But still, a six, like, what are you getting for? Like, a six, bro? Like, and the Patriots are obviously sellers. They're not doing anything.
No, they're terrible. So I do understand that with this team maybe not wanting to go and get a guy that, you know, I mean, obviously a team friendly deal for this year, but you never know what happens afterwards in terms of free agency. Maybe you want a guy where you have a few more years of control and kind of build up this defensive unit, because it still is a work in progress in terms of developing guys. Granted, obviously, the young guys have come out strong, which is huge, but it is still kind of a, you know, they're still developing the culture. Maybe they want someone that they know isn't just a hired gun that's going to be sticking around for a little bit longer. That might be the case. Obviously, I don't know Howie Roseman or the way he thinks whatsoever, but I do know that he is picking up the phones. He's working the phones like a, you know, like a Kamala Harris phone banker, like whoever's fucking texting me all week leading up to the election. It's absolutely ridiculous. So I know Howie's going to be in the mix. I just don't know how much he's willing to spend, especially like you said, with how everyone's producing at this point. I can understand, well, maybe he's like, you know what, maybe we kind of roll with the guys we got unless I get a really sweet deal.
Yeah, he probably still has a sour taste in his mouth about the other pending free agents, like Kevin Byards of the world, the Robert Quinns of the world. Yeah. So maybe he's like, maybe I shouldn't do that. But guys like Za'Darius Smith in Cleveland, who would definitely make an impact when he came in, guys who are available but probably not, like Myles Garrett and Max Crosby, who you certainly have to mortgage the future for. Those guys conversations. Like, Max Crosby starts out of first, like they're not picking up the phone if you're not offering that.
I'd rather that than like some Jannard Avery style pickup.
Remember
just
that,
like,
Steve and I talk about all the time how I don't know who the jackass was that tweeted it, like, oh, the Eagles are about, it was like right like 5 minutes before the deadline, it was like, oh, the Eagles are about to make a big move, it's about to shock the world, and it was a Jannard Avery, and I was
shocked. I've never heard of that guy in my life.
I don't even know who that is.
If you're D lineman wearing a 60 number,
I'm out. But that's, you'll probably find him more like a. I actually have a confession. Speaking of trades for cost controlled guys, I bet on Jahan Dotson touchdown yesterday because I was like, hey, today might be the day. Remember like years ago when I was betting Jay Jaw touchdown every week? So I might start off the trend with betting Jahan Dotson every week until I haven't. So maybe. Maybe. You're like, yeah, you go right ahead and do that. And you throw your money down the fuck.
No.
Maybe
yeah,
you'll
ahead.
Make it back when he finally scores.
You could donate that to charity.
Yeah.
You could set it on fire.
I probably
get more use out of that. You save money on your heating bill.
Probably on your heating bill. Hey, I don't pay heat in my apartment, number one.
No, he's
included.
Sick.
He's included. Nah, but that's what you get with apartments. Who needs home ownership when you can get your heat included?
Dude. Fuck that.
I've been trying to buy for years, and COVID just wrecked me. Now
now's not the
just,
time to do
nah,
that.
They've been saying now's not the time for like 4 years, bro. Like, when is the time? I'm not getting any younger.
Well, and here's
as
the thing,
as we started the pod saying.
I don't think anyone's ever going to be able to buy a house ever again. If we want to get into this right now, we can get into this.
Into the real estate podcast.
Dude. Private equity, hedge funds, BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, buying up single family homes. Outpricing the average American.
So you mean
and then running
invest
it back to us.
Into crypto like Taylor Matheson? Just
the military industrial complex. No,
I have a lot of crypto people retweeting me lately. I'm about to get a coin made like Taylor Matheson.
The Philly pod coin. And then we do a rug pull.
Then we do a rug pull and then get arrested. And then we're doing walking bets in an orange jumpsuit from the county jail.
God, dude, that whole thing is just crazy. That whole thing is just insane.
You don't know what we're talking about. Just like go Twitter search Taylor Matheson. You'll go down the rabbit hole of
I never was a fan. I'll be honest. I was never a fan.
Well, there was a very specific demographic she was targeting. So,
yeah, it's old perverts.
Old, right, man.
Old perverts with money to burn.
Speaking
which
of
is, I guess, most of America.
Especially this time of year.
Oh, my God.
Back to the defense performing well. The two of the highest graded linebackers this past week per Pro Football Focus are actually Philadelphia Eagles. Lo and behold, two linebackers, not one, Conway, two in Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean, both being the highest graded linebackers. And I never thought I would see a PFF graphic that included two highly graded linebackers and have Philadelphia Eagles on them. Not since TJ Edwards and Kaiser White. We haven't really had those holes filled. And that's not even really setting the bar all that high because those were good linebackers, but not like they weren't like, you know, like household names. And now we have N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond, who complement each other very nicely over the middle of that defense. And I don't know if you caught a glimpse of what Devin White did with Houston over the weekend, but he did not have a great outing. He was now, again, he's only been there a few days, but he was exclusively used as a blitzer, and PFF grades obviously aren't gospel, but he did not grade out very well. So maybe Fangio like saw him a couple times and was like, oh no, we cannot play this guy.
But I did Dean, see AJ Brown quote tweet him with a little heart emoji.
Quote tweet of who? Is it AJ Brown's real account? Doesn't he have like a fake account? Or are you talking about Devin
White's real account? Is his fake account.
Oh, really? AJ Brown?
I don't know.
Didn't he like delete his Twitter or something?
Here's the thing about AJ Brown is that he is an elite wide receiver insofar as that he's insane. So I really never
he's
had
very
any
much
idea.
Online.
He's very much online and he's very much strange. But
remember when he called in to WIP to dead all that rumor shit? He was like, "Y'all want to talk? Let's fucking talk."
That was fucking electric. Oh my God. And then
what a bad time last year was. Oh my God.
The flat earth, the moon landing.
Oh yeah, all that.
The moon's real, dog. It's crazy. Not that we
really get into conspiracies with AJ Brown.
There's nothing to do. Whether or not we've been to the moon is a moot point with AJ Brown because the moon's not real.
I tell you about the time I met AJ Brown at a bowling.
No.
I got to tell you that story one day. Not today.
Where were you? Pinsetters?
Because it's like 2 in the morning, but another day. No, oh, Pinsetters is lit. You know about that spot?
I love Pinsetters, bro.
Hell yeah. We got to go one day.
I saw Smitty when I was there. I didn't go up to him. He was bowling with his family.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's very family-oriented, Smitty.
Yeah. I'm sitting at the bar. I'm like, is that fucking Devontae Smith? And my buddy's a bartender there. He's like, yeah, he's here all the time. I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
It's like when I used to see Ben Simmons at the Best Buy in Cherry Hill buying like 89 TVs for his fucking gaming.
Oh, what, Simo the Savage 25 on Twitch? Drop him a follow.
He bought like 10 TVs at Best Buy one day. And I met Markel Fultz when I used to work at Mercedes in Cherry Hill when I was doing accounting there. So, yeah, there's some insight into my life. Go ahead with your point. I forget what the point was.
I had a point.
We're talking about the linebackers.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great to see. Obviously, last week, I gave N'Kobe Dean some flowers, and I said I hope to see him, you know, improve. I did my whole voice and everything like that. And
clip on the Philly Pod Instagram.
It was another good heavens performance. Oh, my. Good heavens. No, but genuinely, seeing him, you know, him and Zach Bond kind of team up as that linebacker tandem. Like you said, yeah, like, Kaiser White and TJ Edwards was the last time we saw guys that good. And even like, were they like the best linebackers in the league? No. And I'm not saying that N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond are, but like in terms of what we need them to do and what's being asked of them and kind of their role in playing winning defense for the Philadelphia Eagles, they're delivering as far as I'm concerned. And obviously the PFF grades are showing that, the eye test is showing that, the box score. It's nice when they're all in alignment, when you know that like you're not insane. When all of the when the metrics line up with what you're actually seeing on the TV, you're like, wow, okay, so I actually think I have an idea of what's actually going on in the world. So it's nice to see N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond making strides together. That whole defense, the injection of youth into it, Vic Fangio, I don't know if he cut down on his dose of sleeping pills. I don't know what's going on with him, but he is.
I don't think he sleeps in general, dude. You see how grizzly he is? That man is just on no sleep.
He is grizzled.
He's the most honest coach we've had here in a while, though. Like, whatever reporters ask, though, they answer. He answers, like, truthfully. Like yeah. Especially the thing with Sirianni, raised his hand, was like, I called that defensive play. And they asked him, like dang, no. What do you think about that? Vic Fangio's like, that never happened.
He's like, dude, what? He's like, I'm too old for this shit. He literally left Miami, which was not a bad job. Because he's like, I don't really fuck with these guys, and I'm just trying to
go
home.
Young kids are entitled. They don't like football. I want some dogs. I'm gonna go.
And then we went and we came here. We just got a bunch of dogs, and we got a bunch of young guys.
Honestly, he ended up in Miami because like Gannon was like weird about the job, and like the whole thing was weird. Like he would have been here if Gannon wasn't weird the way he left. So Fangio like went to Miami.
Freak.
He went to Miami as a filler year. Like, I'll be here until Philly wants me.
and then
I can go there and watch the Phillies.
Yeah, and I can go home, catch a Phil's game, and spend some time with the grandkids.
Catch 1 week of Red October before they get embarrassed. Zach Bond led the team with 8 tackles. N'Kobe Dean had 7. They combined for that fumble at the end of the game. Bond forced it. N'Kobe Dean recovered it. So good stuff on that front. You know, the funniest thing about the snap counts when they come out is when Reed Blankenship has like 2 snaps on offense and everyone's like, oh my God, Reed's playing offense, but he's just in victory formation. Like he's like the recovery safety in case something goes wrong or a snap weird, whatever happens. So everyone's like, oh, Blankenship something. Last point before we wrap this one up and I say you go to bed. I have to stay up and edit this. But,
oh no, I got a blog to write about this New York Giants looking like a bunch of clowns.
Oh yeah, with that 2-point whatever the fuck that was happening there. Do you make of the Ben Van Sumeren fullbacks? Fullbacks are back, baby.
Fucking love it, dude. That's got me.
Leonard Weaver, bro.
Nice-y.
Bringing back Leonard Weaver. Hell yeah,
dude. Here's the thing. I am the way I feel about football. The way I approach football is very similar to John Gruden, where I just love fullbacks. When utilized correctly, I've always wanted the Eagles to kind of have a fullback situation. Obviously, that's not really tenable in the modern NFL unless you're like a Juszczyk type guy or something like that, where you know, one in every 32 teams once every few years makes it work. Mm-hmm. Utilizing him in that role, I fucking love it.
Hell yeah.
That just shows that they're willing to try shit, and when it works, they go back to it. It's not like, oh, well, that worked, but we're not going to try that again because that's stupid. If it works, you do it until it doesn't work, or at least you pull it out in situations and kind of, you know, when I hear number 57 is now eligible.
So hold on.
It's a religious experience for me. When I hear 57 is reported as eligible, I'm like, oh, boy. I'm watching the game intently. I said I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm like, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen here? So hearing that over the PA system is a bit of a religious experience for me. It's sort of like the call to prayer. Like wherever you are, you just drop what you're doing and you're like, hold on.
Hold on. Oh,
57's eligible. Ben Sumeren's on the field.
Some shit's about to go down. When he catches a touchdown pass this year, it's going to be electric. When he catches
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's going to happen, too.
Oh, it is.
Spider 2
wide banana. Which happens first? He catches a touchdown pass or Quinyon finally picks off a pass inbounds? When does that happen?
I finally caught one
yesterday and he was out of bounds. I was like, all right.
That drove me crazy, dude.
He's going to get one. You know when it's going to come? That first one's coming against Dak in Dallas in 2 weeks.
Oh, and it's going to be
It's
going to be the easiest fucking interception he's ever had in his life.
It's
going
to be like a punt. It's going to be like fielding a punt, that one. Because that's what Dak throws. Just bombs that bitch and whoever's down in the remote area is going to catch
it. Oh, no one's down there because it's the Dallas Cowboys and they fucking suck.
Oh,
they got
man.
The doors blown off them again last night.
Shouldn't be shocked with the way the offseason went. Like, I don't know why Cowboys fans are like, oh, Jerry, what's going on? I'm like,
wait, we didn't do anything.
CeeDee Lamb on the day of the first football game of the season? Oh, my God.
Insane.
You know what doesn't shock me about Ben Van Sumeren on offense? Because in training camp, he like routed up Andre Sam, one of the backed up safeties. He routed him up real bad in a like offense. It was like a little fun like offense defense drill, and they let Ben Van Sumeren run a route, and he gave Andre Sam the business, cooked him, and Kenny Pickett of course missed him. But if he would have caught that, it would have been a highlight. So that is fun stuff from Ben Van Sumeren. Yeah, Quinyon's up to 5 missed picks. I'm about to put a compilation together of all of his missed picks throughout the season and put it out because it is unbelievable. Like, there's a reason why he plays corner. I understand that. Not the greatest hands, but my God, man. One of these days. I pray it's against Dallas. I pray to God it's against Dallas.
I'm sooner expecting like a Kyle Hamilton-esque dropped pick where just so obviously an easy interception that he's like almost shocked and he's like, wait a minute, what do I do here?
He should just lean into the bit and drop them all at this point. Just don't even catch them. Like just swap them.
It.
Just bat it. Just lean into. Speaking of leaning into bits, are the Eagles going to purposely like not score in the first quarter for the rest of the season? Like just to make the streak live?
I think we're topping out at 3 points. I think we got to lead.
Now, granted, they didn't get the ball until, like, what, 5 minutes left in the first quarter? So if
did we
drive,
not score in the first quarter?
No, they didn't. Not this game, though.
They didn't.
The streak continues.
Here's the thing. I'm thinking of the fourth quarter, you know?
The fourth quarter is for
the one that matters. Okay.
The one that matters. The one we put up the most points in. We'll end on this note. I got a fun fact. Fun fact for you to end the note. Over the last three seasons, Hurts has scored 45 rushing touchdowns, more than any player in the NFL, including Derrick Henry, who has 44. This man has more rushing touchdowns than fucking Derrick Henry last three seasons.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Tush push merchant, they say.
That's insane.
So that's funny on that note. But yes, Eagles are 5-2 heading into a matchup against the 2-6 Jaguars. We will be here next week later in the week to discuss that. Maybe Steven will be here if he decides he like wants to participate. We'll see. Maybe we'll not do the pod at one in the morning. Appreciate you guys. I get it. We're nocturnal, so it is what it is. I'll be up till 3 a.m. editing this. For the people to wake up and be like, oh, affiliate pod, I can listen to it in the car.
Oh,
I hope that's what they say. Oh, great. I hope that's
what these
that's what
fucking
happens.
Guys again.
Oh,
awesome.
These guys who can never fucking release one on time.
Yeah. Oh, at least I can listen to my favorite podcast host, Stephen Conrad Jr., and then they turn it on. They're like, fuck. You gotta be fucking kidding me.
Oh my God. Subscribe to the show. Apple iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Follow me, Victor Williams, at the Philly Pot on all social media platforms. Do the same for Mr. Ryan Conway, the faithful co-host, Ryan Conway 76. We'll catch y'all later in the week to discuss the Jaguars and Eagles matchup, where LeSean McCoy will be retired as an Eagle. Doug Peterson will be in attendance, and it's Kelly Green. A lot going on this week. But until the next one, y'all, peace out from the Philly Pot.